process to actually get to the point of imaging. You know, have to go through chemical fixation, dehydration, critical point drying. All of these, you know, have potential pitfalls for the specimen involved. And there's a lot of time involved. You have to use some nasty chemicals, and you know, a lot of people are avoid this for that reason, that it's just not worth it. The payoff is not necessarily the best. With low temperature techniques, it's pretty straightforward. It's really an easy process, as you'll see, and you tend to get pretty consistent results. So I'm going to show you a comparison. This is some images of mites that were preserved using conventional methods, and there you go. They look like raisins for the most part. You know, the hard structures, the sclerotized parts of the anatomy, they hold up well. So there's some utility in this. But in comparison, a low temperature SEM, we maintain fully hydrated specimens throughout the imaging process. So you get a nice representation of what these guys actually look like in life. And if, you know, black and white doesn't suit your fancy, we dress it up a little bit. Okay, so now I'll talk a little bit about the specimen mounting procedure, just give you an overview of that. These are specimen holders for scale. They're about the width of a penny. And in a pinch, a penny will substitute as a holder. So we actually have cheaper mounting techniques than what Matt uses. most of this stuff is custom made in the lab, so you get to use those metal shop skills that you probably never thought you'd, you know, have to dust off. On the left is the actual the holder of the specimen plate, that's what will hold this your sample when inserted into the SEM imaging chamber. Okay, so here's the plate. We use a cryoadhesive, a methyl cellulose gel. Tissue Tech is the company name, but I work for the government, so I don't endorse that. I'm indifferent. Samples are then placed on the cryoadhesive. In this case, we're just going to use leaf tissue. So it's a lot of times I work for plant feeding mites, so we're usually excise parts of the leaf that we know mite specimens are on, place it on the cryoadhesive, and then we're going to move into cryofixation. Again, these are some of the tools of the trade. And this is generally the setup that we use. The cryo work chamber, just a dressed up name for a styrofoam box. we pour in some liquid nitrogen. We have a brass bar that's partially submerged in the nitrogen, serves as our platform for freezing. A lot of cryo techniques were developed for working on tissue samples and looking at internal structures. In that case, they used to do, you know, they still do, you plunge freeze it. You just dip your specimen straight into the liquid nitrogen, because what you want is you want to freeze it as rapidly as possible so ice crystals don't form and destroy internal structures. Whereas we're looking at the external structures, we want to cool these guys a little bit slower, and what we're really trying to avoid is losing them in the liquid nitrogen, because it's not fun to hunt around in that stuff. So you take your sample plate, cryoadhesive host material, set it very quickly on that brass bar. It's conductively cooled from below. These guys are locked in place in a fraction of a second, so you're literally freezing them. It's, you know, the Han Solo treatment. If you're making a lot of specimens at one time, we've also devised a little sample rack that you can very carefully with forceps transfer frozen specimens, stack them in the rack before we move on to storage. Okay, so sample storage, we've created these brass tubes that you stack your sample plates in. The thing to note as far as mechanical damage is concerned, when things are maintained at liquid nitrogen temperature, they reach the hardness of steel. So you don't really have to worry necessarily about, you know, the delicate nature of CD and whatnot at these temperatures. They hold up pretty well. As long as there's a good contact between your specimen and the cryoadhesive or the host material such that it's frozen in place, it should hold up pretty well. you tend to be limited in the size of the specimen, but you know, you're not really going to stick a Goliath beetle in the SEM now, are you? So you just need to have clearance. Most of the time it's not a problem, but occasionally it is. The good thing about this is you can make up a bunch of samples, and they're good for long-term storage in a storage duar. As long as, you know, liquid nitrogen is pumped in there, you're good to go, and when you're ready to image, you can pull them out and move forward. So some of the advantages of LTSEM is that you have a fairly efficient preparation and preservation techniques. Most of the samples that you mount up, you're gonna get something out of. And the real kicker for us is that you can image soft-bodied organisms and soft-bodied life stages, so eggs and larvae and things like that that typically would just shrivel up beyond compare through fixation and dehydration procedures and conventional techniques. And the last thing that we'll see is that you're taking a snapshot and you're pretty much capturing these guys, you know, as they were at the moment of freezing, and you're able to preserve the associations obviously with the host material, but with their conspecifics and other species that may be in the sample. So a lot of this was originally, you know, put to use at Beltsville to image nematodes, the ultimate soft-bodied microorganism out there. Here's a nematode and its egg. And at SEL, we first got involved with the electron microscopy facility to image areophyid mites, which are the smallest of the mites out there. They, on the low end, go about 80 microns in length. They're notoriously difficult to slide mount. They tend to roll around. So we said, let's give it a shot. So we did a series of SEMs. You can see some of the preservation here. In the foreground, you actually have spermatophores that have held up. Tomato rust mite,